The shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha's Korach. And the shiur is titled Korach's Wealth and Sons. So tonight, we're going to look at an interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin, which highlights the motivation or the behind the personality and the nature of Korach. It's a very interesting Gemara. So we're going to break it down into its parts and try to analyze, again, what the Gemara is trying to teach us. So the first source on the source sheets is the main Gemara we're going to focus on. It's Sanhedrin, Daf, Kuf, Yod, Amud, Aleph. And I'll just read through the Gemara, and then we'll break it down, ask questions, and start the shiur off. So the first source starts with, Osher, Shamor, Levalav, Lerasso. So there's a pasuk quoted from Koheles. If you look in source number three, it's the whole pasuk. It says, Yesh ra'a chola ra'isi tachas hashamesh, osher shamor levalav l'raso. So there is a bad sickness that I've seen under the sun. Wealth that is hoarded by their owners is bad for them. That's the ra, l'raso, for their harm. So that is the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting. So the Gemara asks, Amarish Lakish. So the Gemara tries to explain what the pasuk is referring to. And the answer is, Zet oshro shel Korach. So the answer is, it's referring to the wealth of Korach. So Korach had this wealth where he hoarded the money, and it was a bad for him, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. So the Gemara keeps going. It says, Ve'es kol yakum asher baraglehem. So the next pasuk that it quotes is, if you look in source number 5 on the source sheets, it says, Va'asher asa ledasan v'la'aviram b'nei Eliyav ben Ruvain, asher patisa aretz es piyah v'tivla'em b'es batehem b'es o'alehem. So the Torah recounts what happened in the story of Korach and Devarim, and it says that which happened to Dasan and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav and Reuven, and the son of Reuven, where the ground opened up and it swallowed them up, their houses, their tents, and the end of the pasuk says Ve'ezkla Yakum Asher Baraglihem, which the explanation of Sepharia is every living thing amongst them, or every living thing in their household, Bekarav Kol Yisrael, amongst Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara, go back to source number one. So the Gemara explains, Ve'ez Kol Yakum Asher Baraglihem, what's that referring to? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Zem Amono Shel Adam, Shema'amido Araglav. This is a reference to the money of a person which stands him on his feet. Okay, so before we ask questions, I'm just going to read through. The Amar Rabbi Levi, so Rabbi Levi said, Masui shalosh meos parados levanos hayu maftecho shel beis ginazav shel Korach. So Korach had 300 white mules that carried the keys to the houses, the warehouses that held his wealth. The kulu aklidi vekilfi de gilda. And all the keys and the locks were made out of leather. So very heavy. And he had a lot of wealth. Rashi, look at Rashi in source number 2. Aklidi miftachos are the keys, the kolfi is the min olim, the locks, the gildi kulam, ha miftachos va ha min olim shel or hayu. They were all made out of leather, the afal pichin hayu shlosh meos prados to unos. And he had so much wealth that he had 300 white mules carrying the keys and the locks for all of the warehouses that he held his wealth. Lishnachrina de gilda litzorach sakim va hamertsufin va chisin shel or hayu. Another interpretation is for the sacks and the pockets full of money and gold and silver that were all made out of leather. Okay, and then there's one last part of the Gemara. So it says, Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, Shlosh Matmonios Hitman Yosef in Mitzrayim. So there were three treasures, hidden treasures, that Yosef buried in Mitzrayim. Achas Nisgalsa l'Korach. One was revealed to Korach. Ve'achas Nisgalsa l'Antoninos ben Asirus. The other one was for Antoninus. V'achas genuza l'tzadikim l'asid lavo. And the third hidden treasure is buried for the tzadikim in the future, l'asid lavo. So the question is, there's three parts. Well, let me just summarize before we ask the questions. So there are three parts to this Gemara. The first part is explaining the pasuk or the psukim, and it talks about the wealth of Korach, and it says two aspects. One is Osher Shamor Levalav Lerasso, that's the first pasuk, and the second one is the Eskla Yakum Asher Baraglihem. So the question is, what's the uniqueness of Korach's wealth? Is there any deeper meaning or deeper idea that we can glean from the concept that Korach was very wealthy? The second part of the Gemara is the part about the mules. So the question is, why is that important? Why do we have to know how many mules, that they were white mules, they carried all of his gold and silver, they carried all of his keys and locks? Just tell us that he was very wealthy. Why is it teaching us the specifics about the mules? And then the last question is on the three treasures of Yosef. And what does it mean at the end that it's genuza latzadikim lo'asid lavo? So what exactly does that refer to? Is that Olam Haba? Is that Mashiach? Whatever it is, what exactly, why do they need this money? What's the idea of the treasures of Yosef? So those are the three parts. And we're going to look at each part on its own and try to define each idea and then put it together. So again, the first part is the nature of Korach's wealth. The second part is the idea that the mules carried all the leather keys and the leather locks. And the third part, in my mind, is the hidden treasures of Yosef. So can we glean an idea? Can we gain an idea from the Gemara as a whole on what it's teaching us about the nature of Korach? So I showed you all the psukim, but look back in source number 3. So we'll start with the first pasuk. We'll look at Rashi. It says, Yesh ra'achola ra'isi tachas ha-shamesh, osher shamur levalav lora'aso. So again, there is this terrible evil sickness that I've seen under the sun. This is Shlomo, he's talking. Osher shamur levalav lora'aso. That an owner, he hoards money, his wealth, for his bad, for himself, which is a harm to him. So look at Rashi over there, source number 4. So Rashi says, Osher shamur levalav lora'aso, ka'ashro shal korach, shalidei kein nizga'e v'yara lish'ol. So he says like the Gemara, that really it's a reference to the osher of Korach, the wealth of Korach. And through this, he became very haughty because he had a lot of money. And that's why he ended up going down into Sheol, into the depths. And that's why he basically was killed. And this is what the basis of Korach's haughtiness was his wealth. Okay. And then we have another pasuk in source number 5. So we're gonna just do that again. It says, "Asher also the dust of La'ariram bnei Eliyahu bnei Ben Ruvain, Asher patzus artis pia vativla emes batihem es olehem, ve'ez kol yakum Asher biraglihem bekarav kol Yisrael." So the pasuk talks about the fate of Dasan and Aviram and how the earth swallowed them up and everything. And it says, "Ve'ez kol yakum Asher biraglihem." So the Gemara says that's a reference to the idea that their money stands them up. It means that stands them up. Yeah. So what does that mean? What exactly is this talking about? So I found a great parish by the Kli Yakar on this pasuk, but I think it also explains both psukim, and it gives us some insight into the nature of wealth and the dangers of wealth. So look in source number 6. He says, "V'iskol yakum asher baraglihem, parish Rashi, zem amonu shel adam, hamakimo al raglav." So he says, this is the money, the wealth of man, which stands him up on his feet. V'chi mi she'en lo mamon, chi ger baragla, v'lo amdolo kol chochmaso, ushar hamalos ha'anoshios. So is it not the case that, or would you say that a person who doesn't have mamon, it's basically like he can't walk, his legs are paralyzed, and his chachma and all the other good parts of him don't matter? So what is it saying? Venira shebignus kinyan amamon hu midaber. So he learns that it's referring to a bad aspect of acquiring wealth. Kihu apachos shebichol arba malo shemana harambam. So wealth is the lowest of the perfections that the Rambam mentions in the Shmona Prakim. And what are they? Vehem achachma vagavura vhamidos vaosher. So the four perfections of man are wisdom, courage, personality traits, and osher, which is wealth. Ki kulam devukim ba'adam. But all they're all attached to man. The osher chutz mimenu. But osher is outside of a person. So what he means is that chachma, wisdom, is internal. Courage is internal. Midos, personality traits, are internal. But mammon is external. Wealth is something external to man. So he says, ki achachma mekora barosh v'moach l'lev. So chachma is really sourced in the mind of a person and their heart. Vagvura mekora belev, and gvura, courage, is located in the heart. Kimishu rachalev of eno gibor, a person who's soft is not going to be a courageous warrior. Aval haosher davuk baraglo, but the osher is really tied to the man's feet. Ki yisron eretz b'chol hi. Because land is supposed to be, is meant to be tread upon. He says, va'aretz midras l'raglav. Really, land, which is a sign of wealth, land ownership, land by its nature is something that a person is supposed to stomp on. V'dinhu shi'a pacho shebekulam. It should really be the lowest of those four. It's just something that you step on. V'yenason tachas memshel sa'adam. And it refers to the idea that land is under the control of man. La'asos b'mamono mashiyirtze. So a person can do what he wants with his wealth. He really controls his wealth. Aval desof, but in the end, muchlefes hashita shemamono misgaber alav. In the end, it's the opposite. That really your wealth ends up controlling you. El kol asher yachbots yitnu v'olam min aretz mishafel matzavo. You're driven after everything you want, your desires. And he says that it takes you from this low status, this low state. Mishafel matzavo. Kasher yakum isha re'ehu kach yakum mamono alav. So just like a man goes over his friends, so too mamon becomes something that controls him. B'shalitbo, it rules you. Umaviro al daito valdas kono. It takes over your mind and it removes your idea of the creator. L'chach karu ha'yakum asher b'raglihem. That's why it's called, that's why wealth is called yakum asher b'raglihem. Ki zeha etzev, this depression, the sadness, nivzeha achus b'chav le'buz. The very thing that a person can grab onto and is supposed to walk upon and really should control is something that ends up controlling him. Just like a person gets up to murder his friend, so it controls him, so too this kinyan brings about a lot of danger to a person who has it. And this is what killed Korach. Ki batuach ba'oshro v'nafal. So he was confident in his wealth and he fell. L'chach kar l'mamono shel korach v'adaso ha'yakum asher b'raglihem. That's why the wealth is called yakum asher b'raglihem. So the Kli Yakar is, I think, is really nice. And he's explaining a little bit of depth into the nature of why it's called ha'yakum asher b'raglihem. He's saying that really wealth is something that a person should relate to as something he controls, and it's really the least important of all the perfections. It's something tied to his feet, meaning a person walks on land. It's not really something that's intrinsically important or part of man, but it ends up taking control of you, and it ends up being more significant. So that's what he explains about wealth. So what can we say about, so what's the idea here? How can we relate this back to the Gemara? So at the beginning, so this is the first idea I wanted to share. So at the beginning, he says that the Rambam talks about how a person really his chachma and his gevura and his chachma, gevura, midos are really part of him, but his osher is outside of him. So maybe the idea of osher shamor leva'alav l'ra'aso, what does that mean when a person hoards his wealth, which is really to his detriment? Maybe that idea is that when a person hoards his wealth in a way where he defines himself by his wealth, meaning when a person sees or makes his wealth part of his essence as opposed to something external to the self, so that's really when it's dangerous. When you think of yourself as a rich man and that's how you identify yourself, so that's osher shamar leva'alav. It means it's guarded by man, meaning it's something that a person values and he's hoarding. It's almost like it's part of the person. So maybe the first idea is that Korach's personality was such that he identified himself by his wealth. He failed to view his wealth as something external to the self, and he started identifying his wealth as part of himself. And the other idea, which I think the Kli Yakar is referencing, is the Kum Asher B'Raglihem. That's Ma'amido Al Raglav. What does that mean? It means, well, the Kli Yakar is saying it means that it controls you. It's something that isn't just something that you have or you identify with, but it controls you. And that's what happened with Korach, that his wealth became the driving force of his actions. But another idea of Ma'amido Raglav is that when it becomes the foundation of your essence, like when you stand on a podium, for example, so that's your foundation. Your foundation is what you're standing on. So when your foundation, the foundation of the self, is really the wealth, so that ends up being a source of destruction. So maybe the idea, perhaps, the first idea I wanted to express is that Korach, the Midrash is saying that Korach was an individual who identified himself by his wealth. He considered the idea of him being rich as being who he was. And also the concept was either like the Kli Yakar, that it took over him. It controlled him at that point. After that, that's why the Gemara is sequential. First, it talks about how he identified himself with his wealth. And then the second part of the Gemara is how once he did that, it started controlling his mind and controlling his decision making. Or you can say that there's two different ideas. Either he was identified himself with his wealth, and then it became like a platform for him. It almost was a foundation for him that he stood on. It became something that supported his approach, something that supported his destructive nature. But either way, it's teaching us a uniqueness of his personality, that some people, they gain wealth and they can realize that the wealth is external, but other people, they start defining themselves by their wealth, and Korach was one of those individuals. So the second part, so that's the first part. The first part is to identify, you know, how Korach came into this this situation in the first place. So it wasn't just philosophical. It was the concept that his wealth became a part of who he was. But the next idea, which was the mule concept, it really adds to that, to really adds to the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying. So what is the relevancy of the fact that he had 300 white mules, that they were carrying lots of keys of leather and locks of leather? So the pshat is that he was very wealthy. But if that were the case, then the Gemara should just say he was very, very wealthy. Why does it teach us through this method? So there's a fascinating marsha on this, very insightful. So look in source number 7, if you have the source sheets. It says, Gimel Meos Prados Levanos, Mefarish Rashbam, Beperek Arvei Psachim. So in Arvei Psachim, it's the same Gemara. Lav Dafka Nakat Shlosh Meos, Ela Dechein Derech HaTalmud. So it doesn't Dafka mean 300. It could have been 200 or, you know, 100. It doesn't mean 300. It's metaphorical. Miu Hadin Nakat De Levanos. So, but why does it use white mules? Hayu Mashma De Dafka Nakat Ve Efshar. It sounds like it's specific, the white mule. So the Efshar Mishum Demakas Prada Levana Kasha. So when a white mule, when it hits you, it's a very strong kick. It kicks when it kicks you. Kimasha kasa beparakama de chulin, like it says in chulin. L'chachaya maso al predos levanos. That's why Korach used these white mules. Shalo yavo acher lingo b'osan mertzufim shal or v'lignov mehen shahaya yore mimakasan. He was trying to protect his wealth, and he knew that this was his security system, that anybody who tried to take his money or his keys off the mules, they would kick them in the face or whatever, and they would knock him down. So that's why the Gemara highlights the mules. The mules are to teach us that Korach put his money on these secure mules so that they would protect, or they would be protected from marauders. So what does that teach us? So I think that adds another layer to Korach. So not only did he identify himself by his wealth, and not only did it control his decision making, or did he use it as almost like a foundation, but he had this false sense of security. He was nervous about losing it, and he used these very secure types of animals in order to protect his wealth. But we see from that there was some type of security, some false sense of security that he gained from his wealth. Because the fact is that he put it on these donkeys in order to give him that sense that his money is safe. And a lot of wealthy people go through this experience. They gain wealth and they get nervous that they're going to lose the wealth. So they start, you know, they put their wealth in locks and in these safes in the bank where they get these special safes, and they feel like they're secure. They're themselves, especially if you identify yourself with your money and you feel like you're defined by your money. So now if your money is safe, you feel the sense of security. So the next step is, not only did Korach identify with his wealth and it controlled him, but he also felt the sense of security, and that security was necessary in order for him to go and take on Moshe. He had to feel a certain power and a certain security, like a safe feeling, but it was false. It was based on the idea that his money was safe. But in reality, his money's not safe. I mean, money, it can always be lost and be stolen, but the real security obviously is Betuach B'Hashem, because Hashem is the ultimate. Placing your knowledge and your emotions in Hashem is the ultimate security. But here we see that Korach went forward with this false sense of security. But then the last part is I think also an interesting component of the Gemara, which is that Yosef had these hidden treasures. It reminds me of this story. I think like 10 years ago, this very wealthy man hid his treasure, I think in the Rockies or somewhere in the Rockies. And I think somebody just found it this year. It was like $1 million. So why would Yosef, or what's the concept of Yosef hiding this money, hiding this treasure away? Did he just want people to search for it? Was it the fun of, was it for that fun? And furthermore, it says that the money was for tzaddikim la'asid lavo. Sounds like the next world. So what is that talking about? What's, you know, why would they need money in the next world? So we'll try to answer those questions and hopefully put it all together. So again, the Marsha is a very good source here, and source number 8, and he talks about the idea of the treasures. He says Shlosh mat monios hitman Yosef kedamrina parak erev sachem. So maybe we should have brought the Gemara and erev sachem down. The Yosef likate kol kesef azav sheba olam. So Yosef gathered all the gold and silver in the world. Shenamar vayilaket Yosef as kol kesef animsa. So the Torah teaches us that Yosef, when he was selling the grain, he collected all this money. Ayin sham umesayim bahukra vayavi Yosef as a kesef base of Paro. And at the end it says that Yosef brought all the money and the gold and silver to the house of Paro. Demashma besa makom panimi. So the word besa implies somewhere inside. Shahaya lo, that was for him. Vahaya kabbalah biyadam she'asa shlosha matmonios. So the kabbalah was, there was this mesorah, this tradition, that he had these treasures and he hid them personally. Vahi damrin hasam di yisrael ha'lu mitzrayim. So there's another Gemara that says that it was taken out of Mitzrayim, so it's arguing with this Gemara. So it sounds like it's literal, that really Yosef did put this money away. But the question is, what's the significance of that? Why would he do that? Why would he hide the money? And why did Korach, or what's the concept that Korach found it, and it was, what does it mean that it was lost in Lavo? So those are the questions. So I wanted to just look at the Rambam just as a refresher. I think we're all, I think most of us know about the Rambam's view of Olam Haba, or Lost in Love, I'm learning, is Olam Haba. But whether it's Moshe Mashiach or Olam Haba, you still have the same question. What's the idea of the money being separated for that purpose? So if we look in source number 9, let's look at the Rambam. So the Rambam, this strengthens the question. The Rambam says, Ha'olma ba'imba gufa gviya el nefasho satzadikim bilvad. So Olam Haba, the next world, is not a physical world. It's the souls of the tzaddikim. Below guf, kemalachi asharis. They don't have a body. They're like malachim. V'hol v'einbo gvios, einbo lo achila v'lo shesia v'lo davar mikol dvarm shevegufos shegufos b'nei adam tzrichim lahem b'olam hazeh. 1 second. So he says that since it's not physical, they don't need any food or drink. Anything that they would need in this world is not necessary to survive. And things that happen, like falling down, hurting yourself, breaking stuff, you don't get that. Nor do you have physical actions like sitting and standing and sleeping and death and depression. You don't have emotions and happiness and schok, laughter. Kach amru chachamim harishonim. Ha'olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shesia v'lo tashmish. So in Olam Haba, there's no eating and drinking and no cohabitation. El tzaddikim yoshvim atrosam baroshan. So tzaddikim are sitting and they have crowns on their heads, v'nenin mezivashchina, and they're enjoying the outgrowth of the shchina, the glow of the shchina. Reinisbar lach she'ein sham guf l'fi she'ein sham achila shesia. So the Rambam's highlighting that there's no body and there's no eating and drinking. V'zeh she'amru tzaddikim yoshvim derachida amru. It wasn't literal. They're sitting there without any worry and no hard toil. They know that they have been zocha, they've merited Olam Haba, v'hi atar shalehen, that's the crown. It's not a happiness of the body. Atar is a reference to the knowledge that they know that they were zocha. It's a different shir, what that means. So what does it mean that they enjoy the zivashchina, the countenance of the shchina? It means that they can gain some knowledge that they were incapable of gaining when they were attached to their bodies. Okay, but what do you see from the Rambam? Why did I bring in this long Rambam? Just to highlight the concept that it's not physical. So again, why is Yosef or even let's say it's Yemos Mashiach. So while, and according to the Ramban, there's different shitos as to what Yemos Mashiach are going to be like, is going to be like. But what's the concept of Yosef, you know, putting the money away? If it's for Olam Haba, it's not physical, so they don't need money. So what's the idea of him putting money away for Olam Haba or Yemos Mashiach? So what's that concept? And what's the concept of Korach finding it? Okay, so that's the question. Okay, so just one more point, and then we'll answer that, hopefully. Try to answer it. So what was interesting about Korach? He wasn't a dummy. If you look in source number 10, he was a... Look in the Pasuk, at the beginning of Korach, it says, "Usnuvahen ish v'simu alehen kitores, lefnei Hashem machar, v'haya ha'ish asher yivchar Hashem hu akadosh, rav lechem b'nei Levi." So Moshe had this challenge set up where all of the 250 people and Korach would take... They would take a pan and they would put ketores, and Hashem would choose the one that he, that obviously Aaron in the end. And he says, "Rav lachem b'nei Levi." He says at the end, "You've gone too far, the sons of Levi." So Rashi says over there, interesting. He says, "Davar gadol amarti lachem." I said something great. The lo tipshin hayu. They weren't dumb. Shekacha hisra b'hem bekiblo aleihem lekarev. He gave them asra. He warned them, and they accepted to be mekarev. They made a mistake with, and this mistake cost them their souls. The Korach, but what about Korach? He was intelligent. He was what did he see in this dumb plan that he went forward with it? So Eno Hitaso, his eye actually caused them damage. He saw this great lineage that was supposed to come from him, or that came from him. Shmuel Sheshako Kenegin Moshe V'Aron. Shmuel was a descendant of Korach, and Korach somehow had some premonition that Shmuel, or some nevuah, that Shmuel was going to come from him, which is true, and he actually did come from Korach. So Amar, he said, "Bishvilo ani nimlat, for Shmuel's sake, I'm going to escape, and nothing's going to happen to me." V'chav dalin mishmaros omdos levnei vanav kulam misnabim beruach hakodesh. And not only did Korach merit Shmuel, or Shmuel came from him, but also all these B'nai Levi who worked in the Mikdash, they even got Ruach HaKodesh. Shneamar kol eile bonim leheman, amar efshar kol gedula azos asid alamod mimene vani edom. So Korach believed that all this greatness came from him. How am I going to be quiet in this situation? L'chach nishtatef lavo l'oso chazaka. That's how he came to the strength. Shesham pi Moshe shekulam ovdim ve'achanim lad. He heard that everyone was going to die and one was going to live, and he assumed that it was himself. And it was based on this idea, this nevuah that he had, that Shmuel was going to come from him and that his children would be great. So Asher Yivchar Hashem Hakadosh Ta V'Tala Ba'atzmo, he said, "It's me. I'm the one. I'm the special one." V'lo Ra Yafel L'fisha Bana V'asu Tshuva U'Moshe Hayaroa. He didn't see the reality that his sons eventually did Tshuva, and Moshe, but Moshe saw that he was tricking himself. So the Rashi teaches us about Korach, that Korach, why did he make this mistake? He was not a dumb person. He was a smart, intelligent person. He saw that in the future he would have some that he would have a lineage of greatness of Shmuel and the children, and that idea distorted his sense of reality, his sense of self, and he believed that he was the chosen one, and that's why he believed it. So what do we see from this situation? I want to give a svar here for the last part of the Gemara. So the Gemara is teaching us that Yosef set aside these treasures and Korach found one of the treasures. So what exactly is the idea of the treasures being set aside? So maybe the concept is, I was thinking about it from the perspective of La'asid Lavo. So what would the concept of money be, La'asid Lavo, or what would the concept of money be in Yemos Mashiach? So the real idea of money is that, the true idea of money is that it takes away your fear, and it gives you a peace of mind. But not only that, but it gives you comfort. It gives you don't have to work. You can focus your energies. If you have enough money, you can focus your energies on learning. You can focus your energies on knowledge, on working on yourself. But if you're constantly scrounging around for money, so it ends up being a hardship, and it could take away from the time and the investment that you place into yourself. But the idea of Olam Haba and the idea of Yemos Mashiach is that it's a time where we're going to have everything set up for us, that we're not going to have to work hard. We're not going to we're not going to, like the Rambam says, there's no, even though it's not physical, he's saying it's a reality that a person's not going to have any worries. It's going to be a state of being where you have this peace of mind because of the fact that you don't have to worry about money. So the idea is that the ideal of money is such that it should be used for this purpose. It should be used for the purpose of giving a person the ability to focus their energies on, you know, on knowledge and on Torah. So perhaps the idea is like this. Maybe Korach really had this great potential, and that's why Shmuel and his children ended up doing tshuva, and he had this great legacy, because really he had this tremendous potential. He obviously, like Rashi says, he was a pikeach, he was a chacham, he was wise. He just was distorted by his attachment to his wealth and this knowledge that he had in the future, and he thought he was greater than he was. But he did have a tremendous potential, and the Torah doesn't teach us about people who don't have this potential. It doesn't teach us about idiots. So Korach was a leader of this rebellion, but he had this tremendous potential. So maybe the idea is that Yosef, the idea of Korach finding Yosef's wealth, is that the purpose of the wealth was to give whoever found it this sense of peace of mind and this ability to use the wealth for the right purpose, for the proper goal, which is that you don't have to worry about toiling for money, and you don't have to search for money, and you can have the things that you need in front of you. So that was the goal of the money, and that's why there's a reference to Om Haba. It's the type of money, I don't know exactly in specific, but it's the type of money that would give you that sense of peace of mind, of psychological ability to focus your energies on the right goals. So Korach was that individual. He had that potential, and that's what it means. He found the money, meaning the money was an opportunity for Korach to focus his energies and to be able to utilize his potential for the right, for the good. And it was like it was a gift. It was a matana for him because he had that ability. But what happened was that the money became his essence. The money became a part of who he was, like the beginning of the Gemara, and the money became something that was a foundation for him. So that's the idea in the Gemara. The Gemara is teaching us that Korach had this potential, and that's what it means he found the money of Yosef. It means that really the money was meant for Korach in order to be used properly, in order that he'd be able to focus his energy and focus this potential on the good and on the purpose of having lots of money. But instead, the money became a source of destruction for Korach. So we see some interesting insights into Korach. On the one hand, he was this individual who seemed to have tremendous intellectual potential, tremendous potential in terms of Torah. But on the other hand, his inability to treat money the way that it was meant to be treated, which was Yosef's intention, his primary intention, was to use the money for this goal. So his inability to treat it that way was really what caused his downfall, really what caused him to fail. So again, he was given this opportunity. Yosef put the money aside for this goal, for the money to be used properly, for the money to be used in a way whereby man could not have to worry and toil and worry about his next paycheck and worry about money, water and food. And Korach was given that opportunity, but he failed in that opportunity, and he used it and he distorted it because he identified too much with his wealth, and he ended up getting this false sense of security. So that explains the personality of Korach from the Gemara's perspective, an interesting set of agadotas on Korach, I think. Okay. So since we stopped here, I wanted to just segue into the next part, which is just the last Rashi mentions that Korach's children did tshuva. And we see that from the fact that he had all these descendants that were great, Shmuel, his children, his great-great-great, you know, all of his descendants, they worked in the Mikdash, and they had this great Ruach HaKodesh talent. So the idea, what's the idea of his children not dying? So the Torah says in source number 12, Uvnei Korach lo mesu. So it's open in the Psukim that the sons of Korach did not die. But the Gemara later on Sanhedrin, I skipped the Gemara in between, but the Gemara later on says Uvnei Korach lo mesu. So look in source number 13. Tana mishum rabbeinu amru, makom nisbatzer lahem begehenem, vayeshvu alav v'amru shira. So there was a place that was set aside for them in Gehenem, in the lower, I guess, the whatever you want to define Gehenem as. And they were sitting on it, and they said Shira. So what does that mean? What does that mean that there was a place for them in Gehenem, the Korach's children, and why did they sing? What was the Shira about? The question is on the basics of the Gemara. What is the Gemara talking about? So if you look at Rashi, And he says, he gives us a little more insight. He says in 14, Yuvnei Korach Lomesu, Hema Yu Be'etz Atchila. So the Bnei Korach were actually, they were involved in the rebellion in the beginning. Uveshas HaMachlokes, Hear Her Tshuva Belibam. When there was this argument, when it started to flare up, they started thinking about doing tshuva. Lufichach Nizbatzer Lahem Makom Gavoa BeGehenem BeYeshvisham. So therefore, there was this high place on the cliff over Gehenem that they sat on, and they were given this opportunity, and they were saved. And they said Shira. So what's the Shira about? To look into, let's just do the next sources, and then we'll put it all together again, the last idea. So the Sisif Chachamim says, Ritzon Letaretz Hechi Tachin Shlo Mesu. The Gemara and Rashi are trying to explain how is it possible that they didn't die. Haksiv Eskol Adam Asher Lekorach. The Pasuk said that all of the individuals that were in the camp of Korach were swallowed up. So the answer is, Shmamina Degama Banim Nivlon Ba'aretz. They were swallowed up, the children, but they weren't, they didn't fall all the way into the depths of Gehenna. So again, what's the allegorical meaning or the allegory of them sitting on a cliff on top of Gehenna, and why do they say Shira? So the last point I just wanted to make in the Ibn Ezra, and then like I said, it'll come clear hopefully. 16. The Ibn Ezra says, "Vnei Korach Lomesu, Ve'aid Shmuel Vanav Nevanav Shehem Hamshorim." So the proof that they didn't die is from Shmuel and the grandchildren and the great grandchildren. They were all the individuals, the Levim, that sing. The Heman Akram Hakarchim or Hakarachim. That's what they were called. Levnei Korach Mizmor, Gambitor Kasuv Mishpachas Hakarchi. So they were all singers. The Hisker Kasuv Ne Korachim Bnei Reuven Bavurki Bnei Dasan Vavirim Gedolim Muktanim Mesu Vnei Ras Dasan Vavirim Kashim Ras Korach. So their job was singing in the Mikdash. And they were the Mishorim. They had good voices. So instead of them falling into the pit of Gehenna, they ended up singing, and that saved them. So what exactly is the idea here? So I believe that the idea of sitting on the cliff of Gehenna means that you see the outcome of your actions. So when you can see where your actions lead to, a lot of times that's like a ringing bell to change your ways. And the idea of Korach's children is that apparently Hashem knew, because he knows what man's thoughts are, man's mind, and man's heart, and he knew that they were on the fence, and they were given an opportunity to complete the tshuva. So what drew them over? So the fact that they saw Gehenna, meaning they saw where they were headed, and the idea of them seeing their future and where they were headed changed them. It changed their personalities. And the idea of Shira, so what's the idea of Shira? So Shira was the way that the Bnei Korach were Oved as Hashem in the Mikdash. The way they served Hashem in the Mikdash was through song. So we see the transformation of Bnei Korach, that once they saw where their actions were leading to and where the rebellion led to, so they transformed into these Ovdei Hashem. They utilized their talent for Shira, meaning their singing talent, which was their job in the Mikdash, which demonstrates the fact that they're in the state of being Ovdei Hashem. That was what their job was in the Mikdash. That was their job as Ovdei Hashem. So it demonstrates that once they saw their end, they transformed into Ovdei Hashem. They were able to transform into their ultimate purpose in terms of Klal Yisrael, and that's how they were saved. They were saved through this process of seeing the end result and changing themselves into these Ovdei Hashem, into these individuals who are capable of using their talents to serve Hashem, using their ability to sing to serve Hashem. So we see, so I try to lead you down a path here from Korach to his children based on the sources, but that's pretty much the end of the shir. But let me just review the shir, and then anybody who has questions, just feel free to ask. So I just want to review the shir. So basically the shir started with this Gemara, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin breaks down Korach, different aspects of Korach's wealth, into three parts. The first part is the pasuk from Koheles and Devarim. One is that his osher was that he hoarded his money and it was shamar leva'alav, and the other was that it became something that stood him up. The second part was that his money was on the mules, or not his money, sorry, his keys and locks out of leather were on these white mules. And the third part was that Yosef had hidden these treasures and Korach found one of them. So we try to explain each part and put them together. The first part we were saying is that the idea of Osher Shamar Lev Olav L'Raso is when a person identifies himself with his money, like the Rambam says, that money is really external to man. But when you identify yourself with your money, so then that becomes a source of destruction and harm. And furthermore, ma'amido is al raglav, like the Kli Yakar says, it's really the idea that something that you're supposed to stand on becomes rules over you. So the idea was that it ruled Korach's decision making. He became entranced by this desire for money and wealth, and wealth became the source of his decision making. Then the second part was the white mules. So the Marsha says that the reason why white mules were chosen was because they have a particularly hard kick. And he knew that by putting his source of his wealth, his keys and stuff, on these white mules, it would be protected. Because anybody who tried to steal it, these white mules would go nuts and they would kick him. So we see there that there was an idea of security there, that really Korach had this sense of security that he gained from this wealth, but it really wasn't, it wasn't a true security. And then the third point was Yosef. Yosef put aside this money. And it says one of the purposes of the money was l'asad lavo. So I just wanted to understand what that would mean or what that concept would be. So I was saying that conceptually l'asad lavo means that it's money used for the right purpose, money used in a way where a person won't have to struggle and search for food and water, and they'll have what he needs to live and survive. And that way he can put all of his energy into the right system, into the knowledge and perfection of man. And Korach, we see from Rashi and we see from the Gemara that he had this tremendous legacy, which indicates that he himself had this potential. He could have been this great father of all these descendants, so when he found the money, he was given this opportunity, an opportunity to develop himself and to develop his knowledge base. But instead, it became a source of harm for him because of his identification with it and because of the idea that the security that he gained from it. And then the last idea was the Bnei Korach. Bnei Korach were saved. And there's a medrash that says that they were saved because the Gemara says that they were on a cliff over Gehenna, over the whatever your definition of Gehenna is. And they said Shira. So we said, based on the Ibn Ezra and based on the Rashi, that really what happened was that they saw, because they were willing to do tshuva, Hashem gave them an opportunity to see where they were headed. And when they saw how far their path, or where their path would lead them to, which was Gehenna, it completely transformed them. And it transformed them into the opposite, into Ovdei Hashem. And that's what it means that they said Shira, because their role in Mikdash was Meshorarim. So the concept is that the seeing, the sight of the destruction of themselves gave them the impetus to transform in a complete fashion to the opposite, to the Ovdei Hashem. Instead of being rebellious against Hashem, they became Ovdei Hashem. All right. So, anybody have any questions?